Good morning. Today's Daf and Baba Kama is Samach Nun Testament Base. Where we're starting, there are not one but two Mishnayos over there. We're going to be starting from Mishnah number one. It starts the bottom of the Amud, second half of the Amud, Hamagdish. Mishnah starts off, Hamagdish, Bezosad Chaver Shalom Birushus. Okay, just a little context. We're here in the sixth parak of Baba Kama, and we're talking about Nezek, and we're finishing up on the topics of Nezek. Prakim 1 through 6 of Baba Kama all deal with Nizakim, damages that are done from one party to another. Mostly we talked about Nizke Mamon. Not where you do the damage, but where your property does the damage. A little bit of you doing the damage as well. And over the course of the first 6 Prakim of the Masechta, so what happens now if I damage other people? So generally speaking, the rule is you pay for it, you break it, you pay for it. Okay? My one sentence summary of Baba Kama. But that's an overstatement, obviously, and there are going to be occasions where you don't pay. And so this Mishnah over here is reiterating an idea we had earlier in the Masechta. It's fair to ask the question, why are we doing a Chazar Shir over here? But it's good. Chazar is always good. And obviously, the Mefarshim are going to, you know, look to explain that this Mishnah over here is teaching us something subtle that we didn't know in the previous Mishnah. But anyway, but the idea behind the Mishnah is very simple, and that is that if I take my goods, in this case, Gedish, grains, and I put in somebody else's property, and I was not extended an invitation to do so, I'm trespassing on the other person's property. I'm using the other person's property. So at that point in time, if their animal comes and eats my food that I left on their property, so there he's going to be potter. Okay. And again, this is an idea that we expressed earlier. Here we go again. Hamagdish betzoch sadeh chaver shelo berushus. So what do? I'm magdish. The word gedish is a pile of grain. And what I do is I deposit my grain on somebody else's property, and I was not given permission to do so. And their animal ate my grain. So potter. So he's going to be potter. Let's go further. And that is that if their animal gets damaged on my food. Now, how does their animal get damaged on my food? So you remember, this is also a discussion that we had early in the Masechta. In other words, their animal ate my food. In other words, should an animal be judicious about what it eats? That's a discussion we had early in the Masechta. We're not reviewing that discussion, but that's just, I touched on it. And or the animal slipped on the food and damaged. Either way, in other words, but the basic idea of the Mishnah is that once again, I trespassed on the person's property. I made use of the person's property without his permission. So now, if the other person's animal ate my food, he'd be putter. And furthermore, if the animal gets damaged by my food, I'm going to be chayev. So who's gaban bal gedish chayev? V'im hagedish berushus, v'im higdish berushus, so bal sadeh chayev. Now, if he extends permission and I ask him, hey, can I come onto your property? Bring my grain onto your property. And he says, yes. So at that point in time, everything now flips. Now that it's berushus, so now he, the owner of the property, is going to be chayev. Now, remember, we are going to do chazaran. We're going to do this really quickly. Lema tananda lo karebi. De'i karebi ha'amar ashikaba ala balabayas l'shmor. Yeah. So when, in fact, we're shifting liability over to the homeowner, what exactly needs to be expressed? So just a simple invitation, hey, come in, or do you have to sign paperwork, right? And according to Shita's Rebbe, you have to sign paperwork. In other words, you have to say, not only come in, but you're mikabel lishmor. I accept upon myself that you're going to bring your property onto my property. You're going to bring your animal onto my property. You're going to bring your grain onto my property, whatever the case is. And now here's the paperwork. I, the owner of this property, am going to be accepting all responsibility for that which happens. Okay, so you have to sign paperwork according to Rebbe. And our Mishnah ostensibly is not going like Rebbe, because our Mishnah just simply says a simple invitation is all you need. So Amra Papa Hacha Benatar Be Dariaskin and Kevin Damarle Ayala Gadosh Ayal the Intalachahu. And so Rav Papa says, no, our Mishnah could in fact be going like Rebbe Huda Nasi. How so? Because our Mishnah is talking about a specific type of ukimta, a specific type of property. What kind of property are we talking about? Basically, I'm giving a modern mashal. In other words, like a storage unit. In other words, it's a kind of property where people are expected to bring their grains onto my property with the understanding that just an invitation alone to bring it onto my property means that I'm going to be held responsible for it. So, right, in other words, when I put myself in self-storage, okay, Why does a person own so much stuff, by the way, that he can't keep all of it in his own home? Okay. Different issue. But in other words, but when you bring them to self-storage, so you understand that there's a certain amount of responsibility that they're going to have when you bring your stuff onto their property. Yeah. Okay. At what probably they do, by the way. I don't know the business model, but probably what they do is they tell you that we're not going to be responsible for anything that occurs. But anyway, but the, okay, good. Anyway, so that could be the ukimta of the Mishnah. If in fact that's the ukimta of the Mishnah, so then our Mishnah is going like Rebbe, because the situation of the Mishnah is such where it's understood that invitation will equal I accept upon myself a responsibility.
In the first case of the Mishnah, where the behemoth ate, does the balasoda have to pay mash in the henna?
No. In other words, putter.
Even though he doesn't have to feed his
behemoth. I hear you. But the Baal Hag, the Gadish was totally in the wrong.
Right.
In other words, he went onto someone else's property.
So
I would assume so. Okay. Good. And here we go. Here we go now with the concluding Mishnah. This is not going to be the last Mishnah, but the concluding topic here of the sixth parak, and that is we're going to focus now on Aish. Okay. So. In the beginning of the sixth parak, we talked a little bit about Bor. Now we're going to go to Eish. In Achinami, generally speaking, the Mishnayos over here are super organized. In other words, we're talking about Nizkei Mamon from the first parak until the sixth parak. We're now rounding out the sixth parak. We're not finishing the sixth parak today. We have a couple more blot to go. But nevertheless, here, the Mishnayos do weave in and out from one Av Nezek to another Av Nezek. And it does seem to be a little bit choppy, but again, I'm sure if we had time and we really, you know, if we really charted it out, we would find some sort of rhythm in terms of the Mishnayos, why we're going from here to here to here. But anyway, we're now moving on to Eish. Hashalechas aber biyad cheirishot v'katan. So what do? So I give a lit fire over to cheirishot v'katan. These are people who do not have the mental capability to understand what it means that they're holding a fire. So, pata b'dine Adam and chai b'dine Shamayim. So, over here, the Mishnah tells us that from a technical standpoint of liability, I'm going to be pater. However, what I did was wrong, categorically wrong. In other words, what I did was totally irresponsible, but technically, I'm not going to be liable. Now, this is another example. We had earlier examples of this, and that is that you're pata b'dine Adam, but nevertheless, in other words, chai b'dine Shamayim means that you want to do the right thing. You go to your Rav, you tell him, this is what I did. Right? I gave a lit fire over to a child, and then what he did is that he spread the fire. So the Rav will tell you, okay, you should pay. In other words, Chai B'dinei Shamayim means that really you should pay. But in other words, can the aggrieved take you to court? No, you can't take you to court. So, Shalach B'yad Pikech, HaPikech Chayev. Now, if you give it over to Pikech, so the Pikech is going to be Chayev. Okay, so why is it that you're Pater B'dinei Adam? And the answer is very simple, and that is that because... you were not the one who made the fire. In other words, the fire was in fact. In other words, you were definitely had a responsible role in spreading the fire, but you're not the one who directly spread the fire, and so therefore this falls under the category of grama. And this takes us back to Daf Nun Vav, right? Nun Vav, the opening Mishnah of the sixth parak of Baba Kama, went through an assortment. The Mishnah, not exactly the Mishnah. Okay, sorry, now I'm just being a little bit technical, my chazara. So over here, it's really the brisa on the bottom of Nun Vav, regardless. All right, earlier in the parak, we talked about grama, and this is just going to be another example of grama, right? Again, so you were goring the nezik, you certainly were, you had a role in the causation of the nezik, but you didn't do the nezik yourself. Okay, once you hand it over to a pikech, the pikech is going to be chayv, because obviously, now that he has his mental capability, he has his full faculty about him, so obviously now he is going to be fully responsible, liable for the fire. You gave him the fire. Yeah, that's not right. But in other words, but because he is mentally competent, therefore he's going to be liable. So let's say the following, and that is that one person brings a fire, the actual fire itself. Now I know it's hard to carry fire without the fire being attached to something. So. But the point is that someone brought just the actual fire, and then the next person brings the wood. So hamevis aitzim go chayev. So in other words, so over here, the wood obviously is the one that is going to be perpetuating the fire. So the one who brought the wood is going to be chayev. Echad hevias ha'etzim and echad hevias ha'ora, mevias ha'ora chayev. And you could reverse this as well. In other words, someone brought the wood and then someone else brought the fire, so the person who brought the fire is going to be chayev. Effectively, the last one who caused really the fire to start and therefore spread is going to be chayev. Ba'achar v'liba ha'malah be'chayev. So let's say somebody brought the fan. In other words, the way the fire works is that you need oxygen, and so you're fanning the flame. So somebody comes along and is malabeh and is fanning the flame. So he's going to be chayev. Hamalabe chayev. Lipsa ruach kulam paturim. Now let's say it was fanned by the ruach. So then everyone is going to be putter. We're going to talk more a little bit about the wind assistance of the fire. In fact, we're going to talk about it, well, in a moment. Amri Shlakish Mishmei Dechizkiya. Now, what did we learn? If you hand the fire over to Chereshot Tevekatan, so you're going to be potter. Why? Because it's Gurama. That's what we learned in our Mishnah. So here the Amoraim are going to pick on this Mishnah, maybe limit the Mishnah. Lo Shanu. So first, the sheet of Rish Lakish. Lo Shanu L'chamasa Lo Gachelas. V'liba. So what did you do? You gave the coal to the kid, and the kid was Melabe. He's the one who started the fire. Ava. Masa Lo Shal Heves. But let's say you gave the kid a lit coal. Now, Chayev. So, my taima, masav kagarmulo. And it's because your maisa is what really is the cause. In other words, if what you handed to the kid was not just a coal and the kid lit it, but what you handed him was a lit coal, so lefi shitas reish lakish, that's not what our Mishnah is talking about. And under those circumstances, reish lakish says, you who gave it to the kid, you're going to be chayev. Rav Yochanan Amar filo masalo shall have his pater. So my time of safsa decherish gar mulam. So velo mechayev ashim solo gavza silsa shraga da uvada maisa dide garmu. According to Shitas Rav Yochanan, even if I gave the kid a lit coal, you, the one who gave it to the kid, are not going to be chayev. You will be chayev if you give him the gavza, let's call that kindling, silsa, right, little wood, shraga, a fire. If you gave him all that, so vada maisi dide garmu. So then you can't ignore the fact that basically the kid is just spreading the fire. Meaning the truth of the matter is you really started the fire, and now the kid is just spreading the fire. Rav Yochanan will acknowledge in that case you're going to be chayev. But if all you gave the kid was just a lit piece of coal, that by itself is not going to be enough to call you, the one who gave it to him, to call you Maise Yadayim, that this is something that you actually did. Okay. Okay, so this machlok is between Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan. Meaning, will there come a point in time where you give the kid fire, right? Just I'm using a very ambiguous term. You give the kid fire, and you're not going to be and you're not going to be potter. Okay, that's the machlok is between Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan. Again, our Mishnah just simply says you're potter. Again, potter midina adam chai midina shemaim. That's our Mishnah. And Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish are saying maybe there comes a point in time where you're not going to be potter, but rather you're going to be chayev. Okay, what is this machlokas between Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan? So it could be, Rashi says this, other Rishonim say this as well, it could be that this is connected to a previous machlokas that we had earlier in the Masechta, you remember. Anchav Beis and Baba Kama. So we said, machlokas between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish, Isho Mishum. When you start a fire and the fire spreads and now the fire causes damage, so is that Mishum Chitzo? Or is that Mishum Mamono? In other words, is that like you shot an arrow? Or is that like your property went down and did damage? And Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish debate that point. Rav Yochanan was of the Shita as Isho Mishum Chitzo. It's like you shot an arrow. According to Reish Lakish, Isho Mishum Mamono. It's because your property went out and did damage. Ah. So it could be that this machlokas over here is connected to that machlokas over there. Okay. A lengthy discussion. All right, Tosus also gets involved in this discussion as well. The connection between those two machloksim. We'll leave it for now, but just what? Okay, we'll leave it. There's much to discuss. Shalach bi apikech chay v'chulei. Okay, so if I give it to a pikech, the pikech is going to be chav. Amar Rav Nachman by Yitzchak Mandit ni liba lo mishabish man did niba lo mishtabish. Now, in our Mishnah, so, right, the heading that the Gemara gave over here, we're in the very top of Samach Amud Aleph, and the heading is a little bit misleading. Because really what the Gemara is focusing on are the next words of the Mishnah. Ba'acher v'liba hamala b'chayv. So the Mishnah has a lamed. And now what the Gemara is noting is that in terms of the girsa of the Mishnah, yesh shtei girsa os. There are two girsas of the Mishnah. One is liba and the other one is niba with a nun. And the Gemara says they're both fine. Okay, a number of times throughout Shas, so the Gemara has a comment of multiple girsos of the Mishnah, and the style like the one we have right here, it's, you know, I can't give you a number, but it happens. It happens a number of times throughout Shas, where basically the Gemara says, yeah, they're both fine. And man did ni liba lo mishtabish. Now, if your girsa in our Mishnah is liba with a lamed, fine. Dichsiv, so this week's Parsha. Okay, second day in a row, right? Yesterday we had the Mi'ados in the Gemara, and we have it coming up in Parsha Shmos. Mm-hmm. And so over here, often a pasuk in this week's Parsha. Fantastic. So, Balabas Eish. So, Moshe approaches the snare. Snare's on fire. And the pasuk, Vayera Malach Hashem Elav, Balabas Eish. Okay, so you have it with a lamed in terms of describing the flame. And now, man did ni niba lo mishtabish dechsev bare niv stefasayim. So, the word niv in the pasuk over there describes articulation, a person talking. So, what happens is that when you're talking, so basically what you're doing is you're creating wind. Ah. So the flame obviously is a byproduct of wind. Okay, so either way, if you liba, if you had the girsa liba, fine. If you have the girsa niba, fine. Okay.
Except liba is stronger than niba.
Okay, could be. You're right. Right. There's a Maritz Chais over here. And anyway, well, we're going to go on. Lipsa ruach kulam peturim tan rabbanan. Liba v'lipsa ruach eish im yesh beliboy k'dei lav so chaya v'im lav potter. Okay, so, we're talking here about the creation, the formation of the fire. Okay, to be clear, in other words, when you start a fire, so the fire is going to spread. Okay, that's the nature of fire. We all know, and what's going to be spreading the fire? So obviously, it needs something to hold on to, and on top of that, it's also going to be helped along and pushed by the wind. When the wind pushes a fire along, in other words, once the fire started, the wind helps push the fire along, so you're obviously going to be liable. It's well understood that the wind is going to aid in the spreading of the fire. The discussion we're having right now is not talking about where once the fire started and the wind's pushing it along, you're going to be chayav. That's obvious. That's part and parcel of what Eish is. We're discussing right now the creation of the fire, the formation of the fire. Right. In other words, in our Mishnah, right, we had who brought the wood, who brought the flame, who brought the wind. In other words, we're talking about putting the fire together, making the fire. So in terms of making the fire, so now we're having discussion about wind assistance. You need wind to make fire. So in other words, either you're going to be making the wind or there's an actual wind there. So what did we learn in our Mishnah? Remember, in our Mishnah, we learned together. Remember, it was all 5 minutes ago. So in our Mishnah, we said that if somebody brought the flame and somebody brought the wood, but the wind was totally produced by nature. So again, so you didn't start the fire. In other words, it was started by nature, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so therefore, everyone's going to be pater. Again, pater meaning what they did wasn't good. But in other words, the actual creation of the fire was not done by a single person. Yeah. Now, that's our Mishnah. Now, in our Gemara's discussion, we're talking about what if it's a shutfus. So in other words, the wind was both natural and human-assisted. What do we say under those circumstances? Again, we're talking now about the creation of the fire. So Tan Rabbanan Liba v'lipsa ruach im yesh belibuye, or libuyo, k'dei levoso chai v'im lapater. So, if it's a shutfus between natural wind and your wind power, and as long as there was enough within your wind power, even though there was also natural wind assisting, you're going to be chayev. And if not, meaning that the only way the fire was started is because of the natural wind that that was provided, so then putter. Again, just from a technical standpoint, you didn't start the fire. Fire was started by another force, and therefore putter. So amai lahave kizora v'ruk masayaso. And so the Gemara over here asks a really interesting question, and only the Gemara is going to give four answers. Only when we get to the fourth answer is the Gemara going to give the answer, which probably you would have guessed. But first, let's set up the question. And that is that on Shabbos, there are 39 malachas. One of the 39 malachas is what's called Zoreh, Zayin Vav Resh Hey, not to be confused with Zoreah, separate of malach on Shabbos. And so in the seventh parak of Shabbos, second Mishnah. So it goes through all 39 malachas. And what's the malach of Zoreh? So you take the chaff and the grains, you throw it into the air. And what's going to happen now is that the wind's going to blow away the chaff, and what's going to come down are only the kernels. And this is one of the 39 malachas. It's one of the malachas that involves separating the good from the bad. Now, how many malachas in Shabbos are there in terms of separating the good from the bad? At least three. There's Zoreh. The Gemara makes this point, by the way. I'm just chazering over the Gemara in Shabbos. There's Zoreh, there's Merakade, and there's also Borer. Okay, three malachas that really talk about separation. And if I remember correctly, the Gemara over there in Shabbos talks about, why do I need three malachas that describe it? But the simple answer is that there are three separate stages of Sidura de Pas, right? The first 11 malachas of Shabbos have to do with making bread. And so this is one of the first 11 malachas on Shabbos. Okay, so the malacha is, I throw it into the air and the wind blows away the chaff. So over there, that is a wind-assisted malacha. And yet, if you do that on Shabbos, you're going to be chayev. So over here, so now I'm making a fire. Again, this is not Shabbos, this is Nezek. I'm making a fire, and the wind assisted in making the fire. And we said, clearly, that if the creation of the fire came solely because of the wind power, the natural wind power, you're going to be putter. So why by Shabbos, if I do Zorah, I'm going to be chayev? And why by Nezek, if the wind is the one that created the fire, so I'm going to be putter? That's the Gemara's question. The Gemara is going to give numerous answers to this question. Okay, so answer number one of the Gemara is that the winds are pushing in two different directions. I'm pushing it in one direction, the wind's pushing it in another direction. And so therefore, what I'm doing now is countering the wind. And so therefore, as a result of that, I'm going to be putter. Rava Amar Kigon Shaliba Beruach Metsuya Vilibato Haruach Beruach Sheina Metsuya. So what I'm doing is I'm creating a quote unquote normal wind, but the natural wind is strong, really strong. It's a Ruach Sheina Metsuya, and so therefore it's the natural wind that's really generating the power to create the fire. Rabbi Zera Amar Kigon Dit Samra Tzemure. Rabbi Zera says that the wind that I'm providing is a hot wind. And in ways that I don't understand and I really can't articulate, but it's not enough to create the fire. And so therefore, the entire fire is started by the natural wind, not by my wind, which is warm. Okay. I'm admitting I don't understand why warm air is going to not start a fire. Okay, it doesn't matter. I mean, it matters, obviously. I don't know how to explain it. And finally, we get to answer number four. And answer number four is the one you probably were expecting, which is, what a funny comparison. A malach of Shabbos and Nezek. And Rav Ashi Amar, Ki Amrin and Zorah Ruach Mesayaso Hanimila Linyan Shabbos. Malach is Machsheva Sasra Torah. Avahacha Grama Ba'amahu, Grama B'nizak and Pater. Okay, so, a fundamental difference, and that is that by Shabbos, you know what a malach is on Shabbos? It's called Malachas Machsheves. In other words, there are very specific activities on Shabbos that the Torah says you cannot do. And they are precise. And part of the precision of what a Malach is on Shabbos, Malachas Machsheves, is Zorah. Zorah looks like Rama. I know. But in fact, not only does it look like Rama, let's go further. Let's even say it is Rama. Doesn't matter. In other words, the Gemara, the Torah, gives a very precise activity of what a malacha looks like on Shabbos. Aizora means I'm throwing it into the wind and the wind's pushing the chaff away. Yeah, I know. I know, but that by Shabbos, that's called a malacha. By the way, malachas machsheves over here serves as a chumra. Okay? It will be confusing throughout Shas. Am I right? This idea of malachas machsheves, which obviously we hit so many times throughout Shabbos, and especially in Masechet Shabbos. Right? Is malachas machsheves going to create a leniency or is it going to create a chumra? And the answer is yes. Yes. Meaning sometimes it creates a leniency and sometimes it creates a chumra. Over here it creates a chumra. Meaning normally, what I call that, I would call that grama. I know I would call that grama. Not by Shabbos. By Shabbos, we call it a malacha. Ah, but now when we go to Nezek, so what do we know? By Nezek, we have the rules of grama. And the rules of grama dictate that if I don't do the Nezek, bi yadayim. If I don't actively do the Nezek, so then what I did was not going to be chayev. Again, it's wrong, but it's not going to be chayev. Because we have grama benizakin. And grama benizakin is going to be pater. Okay. Hashalech is a bear of achleitzim. O avanim, o afar, chayav. Shenamer, kiseitze ishme, umatza kotzim, v'nechal gadish, o akama, o asadeh, shalem yishalem, amavirsa be'era. And now, what does the fire have to burn in order for me to be liable? And effectively, the answer is going to be almost everything. Right? The Torah is actually very clear. The Torah gives four different examples of what the fire went ahead and consumed. And if it consumed any of these four items, then as we're going to do, as we always do, is we use these four items as examples. We're going to broaden out the category to include almost everything, almost. So then I'm going to be liable. And effectively, that's what the Mishnah tells us. It eats eitzim, it eats avanim, or it even eats afar. Fire burning afar? Yes. Meaning, again, burning afar meaning that it scorches the earth. I cause damage. So I'm going to be liable. Okay. Amarava, lama li dekasa rachmana, kotzim. Gedish, Kama, Sade. So the four examples of the Torah, why? Why does the Torah give us four examples? And the Gemara is going to do what it classically does, and that is Tzricha. I need all four examples. Why? Tzricha. Ikas, Rechmana, Kotzim. So let's start off with Kotzim. Kotzim in English translates as thorns. Okay, it's basically the actual plant itself, but the inedible part of it. So Hava, I mean, Kotzim, Hudachai, Rechmana, Mishim, Tzricha, Cheshka, Bayu, Shrech, Depasha. So over there, the kotzim are very flammable. Aval gadish lo shchiach esh kabay v'lo shchiach de pasha emalo. But if we're talking about gadish, the gadish is a grain, and can a grain catch fire? Yes. Is it super flammable? No. I might have thought that had the Torah not said gadish, so then I wouldn't be chayiv. Ikas rachman a gadish aval mina gadish chayiv rachman a mishum defsem meruba hu aval kotzim defsem muad hu emalo. And then we could have went in the other direction. Had the Torah only said Gadish, but not Kotzim. So Gadish, that's food. It's expensive. But if it's just a Kotzim, Kotzim are not expensive. Maybe the Torah wouldn't be Mechayev. Okay, so in other words, so right now we gave a Tzrichusa for Gadish and Kotzim. Let's keep going. So Kama. Now, the Torah talks about the Kama. Kama is something that stands upright. In other words, basically the sheaves. The stalks of wheat. So lamali makama begalui af kol begalui. So that comes to tell me that it has to be exposed. Meaning, if it's covered, so then you're patur. Otherwise known as the patur of tamun. We've covered this patur numerous times. According to the chachamim, this is the source of tamun. The fact that the Torah says kama. Now ula Rabbi Yehuda de mechayv niskei tamun beish kama lamali. Well, yeah. What about Shitas Rabbi Yehuda? He doesn't subscribe to the patur of tamun. So what does he do with the word kama? L'rav, it's called balei koma. It comes to include balei koma. Now, balei koma, what does that mean? Rashi over here writes balei koma means anything standing, including people. Animals, people. So in other words, if you start a fire and it lights up a person or an animal, you're going to be chayav. That's Rashi's understanding of balei koma. Okay? Many Rishonim disagree, including Tosfos. Okay. But anyway, so let's say it over like Rashi. So what about the Chachamim where they agree, Balei Koma, you're going to be Chayev, but they already have the word Kama dedicated for the Petur of Tamun. So how do they learn about Balei Koma? So Nafkalu me O Hakama. So the extra O. So O mi Balei, V'Rabbi Yehuda O mi Balei L'chalek. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, the O is coming to be Mechalek. Meaning that you're going to be chayev either on kotzim or on Gedish, excuse me, or on Bale Kama, v'chule v'chule, they always coming to be mechalek. V'rabbanu l'chalek menalahu, nafkalu me o hasada. The Chachamim have a different O in order to create chilukim. V'rabbi Yehuda, I did a kasav rachmano, a kama kasav o hasada, and Rabbi Yehuda will tell you, no, that's just stylistic. Meaning it says o hakama, therefore it says o hasada. But en achinami, I only have one available for a drasha, not both of them available for a drasha. Okay. Sada lamali. Okay, so of the four different examples of what the fire went down and burned, so we explained the kotzim, we explained gedish, we explained kama, that's three of the four. So finally, of course, right here up to number four. What's number four coming to tell me? La asuye lachacha niro v'sichsicha avanav. So if, let's say, the fire goes and actually destroys the land itself, destroys, damages, so I'm going to be chai for that. Now, how the Torah said the word sada, like, isn't that all inclusive? Meaning, I'm going to be chai for the destruction of sada. So if I'm chai for the destruction of sada, like isn't it a davar pashut now that you're going to be chai for everything else? Sada is the biggest chiddush. Sricha, ikasav rechman asada, hava mina, masha basada in midi achrin alo, kamash malan. Now, because if the Torah would have said sada, here's what I would have thought. Yes, I'm chai for eish, but only for anything burned on the field. Meaning not just the field, but anything on the field. But let's say it was off the field, maybe I wouldn't be chayav. So that's why the Torah has to give me all the other examples of kotzim, gedish, and kama, to tell me that it doesn't necessarily have to be on the field. Okay. Very basic gemara that we just covered here in Baba Kama Daf Samach, and that is that the chiyav eish, where I'm liable for fire that I started and the fire spreads, on what am I going to be liable for? So effectively everything. Okay, well, the Torah gives four examples. Why does the Torah give four examples? Sri Chusa. So we just covered that here in Bava Kama Daf Samach. Amar Bishmo Bar Nachmeni Amar Rav Yonasan Ein Parnios Ba LaOlam Ela Bezman Sharishayim BaOlam VeEinu Maschelas Ela Min Atzadikim Tchila. Okay, a little bit of Agadata. Today's daf actually more than a little bit. Paranis are going to come to the world when there are Rishayim, but the Paranis start with the Tzadikim. How do I know that? Shenemar. Ki seitze eishu matza kotzim. The kotzim over here is a reference to the Rishayim. Emesai eish yatza bizman shekotzim mitzuyin la. Now the kotzim literally are thorns, but we're now learning the pasuk b'derech agadata, b'derech hamashal, and the kotzim is a reference to Rishayim. Right? They're the thorns of our society. So, ve'ina matchela ela men atzedikim tchila shenemar v'nechal gadish. V'achal gadish lo nemar ela v'nechal gadish. Shenechal gadish kvar. Now, the tzedikim, that's the gadish. Because what is gadish? It's grain. It's food. That's a reference to the tzaddik. Right? The food is nourishing. Right? It sustains. That's the tzaddik. So, in other words, and if you look carefully at the pasuk, it says, nechal hagadish. In other words, it was already consumed. Pshat is that Rachmanus, in other words, once the Rishayim make HaKadosh Baruch Hu angry enough, so not only are the Rishayim going to be consumed, but the Tzaddikim, and not only that, Tzaddikim are going to be consumed first. Okay.
You know, I figured out something. The Gematria of Tzaddikim is 254.
Yeah.
The Mispakotin is 11.
And
And Godish, the Gematria is 317. And the Mispakotin is also 11. So that's why Kodesh and Tzadikim are related to each other.
Okay. I don't know if you... I hope I made it to the recording. Anyway, Gematria connecting the two. Yeah. Tani Rav Yosef, my dechsev, atem lo seitzu esh mi pesach beiso ad boker. So more on the idea of the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not only is going to extract judgment on the Rishayim, but in other words, together with the Tzaddikim as well. Okay. The larger philosophical questions of how does that work and Tzchar Va'onish and how is that fair, and that's above my pay grade. Okay. In other words, these are questions that are Berumo Shel Olam. And I I'm not smart enough to answer these questions, but in other words, at least I could say over the Gemara. That's what I at least I'm capable of doing. And another example of this, the Gemara says, "Vatem lo seitzu ish mi pesach beiso ad boker." So, right, this is Yetzias Mitzrayim, and the Lel HaSeder, And so Akash Baruch Hu says, everyone stay inside and make sure not to come out until morning. So in other words, because obviously the mashkin went out that night and killed all the Bechoros. And once the mashkin goes out, there is no differentiation between Tzadik and Rasha. And so therefore, the only form of protection for the Jewish people would be stay indoors. And so over here, not only that, would start with the Tzadikim. And so therefore, stay indoors because there's no differentiation, and even further, weiter, and that is it starts with the Tzadikim. Bachi Rav Yosef Kulei Hai Nami La'ayin Domin. So now when Rav Yosef gets to this and he sees the drasha, so Rav Yosef starts crying. And he says, and I don't understand, what's the worth of a tzaddik? Meaning that the tzaddik is going to be destroyed, and the tzaddik is going to be destroyed first. So Rav Yosef was grappling with this idea. So Abai gives an explanation. And he says it's a tova. Now, everything's a tova. In other words, the fact that we don't understand it, okay. But that's because we're limited in our understanding. Okay, goes without saying, it's important to recognize our limitations. But, so we're limited. But at least Rav Yosef over here, sorry, at least Abai over here can see a little bit of the positive in it. You know, the tzaddikim are going to be destroyed first. That's a tova. Why? So the tzaddik won't have to see the destruction, the subsequent destruction. So you're sparing the tzaddik from having to see the subsequent destruction. Okay. Amr Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Yep. Amud Beis. La'olam yikanes adam b'chitov, yetze b'chitov, shenamar v'atem lo seitzu ish b'pesach beiso, ad boker. Okay, so basically, when should you be doing your traveling? During the daytime. Not at night. Don't travel at night, but travel during the day. At night, dangerous. During the day, safe. Oh, okay, good. So if this Gemara sounds familiar, it's because we already saw this Gemara a couple times in Shas. Notably, in the beginning of Pesachim. So we saw this together. The idea that you'd only be traveling when there's light outside, right? Remember the beginning of Pesachim, right? Or La Arba Asar, right? The night of the 14th. Funny way to describe night, right? Light. The light of the 14th. Good. But anyway, Gemara spends over there. Daf Beis, Daf Gimel. Okay. Maybe even a little bit more. Describing how or can be understood euphemistically. Anyway, over here, when a person should be walking is when it's tov, when it's light outside. Okay, there's an interesting tosis over here. First tosis on Samacham and Beis. Are we talking about only when you're traveling in other communities that you're unfamiliar with, or even in your own community? Right? He quotes the Rabbeinu Tam over here. Rabbeinu Tam says that in your own community, you can walk out at night. In other words, you know the streets, you know you know your way around. In other words, when you're walking in a foreign area where you don't know your way around, so then you should limit your travels only during the day. That's Rabbeinu Tam. The re-argues. See Tosis over here. I was just mitzayin. I pointed to the right location. Tanu Rabbanan. Dever Be'ir. Okay. Boy, oh boy. Can you imagine 7.5 years ago when we read this Gemara? We were like, okay. What happens when there's a plague? So what do you do now when there's a plague? The Gemara tells us, I'll tell you exactly what to do. So Kanes Raglecha. So what you should do is you should stay inside your house. Don't go outside. So not one, not two, but three different psukim that all give the sound advice of stay indoors, don't go out. My va'omer. Now the Gemara wants to know, why do you cite not one, but three different psukim? So v'chitem ani mila b'layla. So I might have thought that that's only at night of Abi Yamamalo, meaning had it been only one pasuk, I would have thought, okay, stay indoors during the night, but during the day, it's fine to go out. So Tashma Alechami Bo Bechadarecho Skor Delasecha. Okay, so, no. So the second pasuk is there to reinforce that not only should you go and stay indoors, but even during the daytime. Now, V'chitema Hani Mile Hechadaleke Ema Megavai. Ava Hechadike Ema Megavai, Ki Nafig Yasev Beni Inshi B'tzafsa Ba'amat Fe'amale. Now, the third pasuk is the following. Meaning maybe there's not only a fear going outside, but maybe there's fear also being indoors as well. Okay? Right? In other words, the ills of staying indoors all the time. Which I know. We argued. Oh, we were so good at arguing all these points. So So, and you know what? In other words, and maybe staying indoors is no good. And at least if we go outside, yes, it's dangerous outside, but at least we'll be in company. So Tashma, Michutz Tashakel Cherv Mechadarim Ema. Af Agav de Mechadarim Ema, Michutz Tashakel Cherv. Yeah, I know it's dangerous to stay indoors as well, but if you go outside, the sword's going to get you. Okay. So during Devar, what you should do is you should stay indoors. Okay. Amazing. Rava b'idan rizcha have sachar kave dechsiv ki Allah mavis bechaloneinu. So at a time of Resach, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu clearly is angry, so what he would do is he would even shutter the windows. Okay, back in the good old days. In other words, when you close the windows, it means you shutter the windows. So dechsiv ki Allah mavis bechaloneinu. The mavis is going to come in even through the windows. So shutter them. Atana rabban rav b'ir pazir raglecha. Okay, so that was for Devar. So when there's plague, when there's a pandemic, so the advice, the sound advice of the Gemara is go inside, stay inside. Tanu Rabbana. Now we are up to Rav. What if there's a famine? So there, opposite. So don't stay indoors. Pazir, everyone spread out. Pazir aglecha, go out, look for food. Shenem Ravayir Rav Barz Vayirat Avam Mitzrayma Lagur Sham. So Ve'omeri Mamano Navo Ayir Vaharav. Ba'ir v'amastu sham. Okay, so not one, but two different sources in terms of the sound advice during Rav is get out there. Mai v'omer v'chi tema. Hani mi lehecha deleka. Safik nefashos aval hecha di'ika. Safik nefashos lo. So tashma l'chu v'nifla el machane aram im yichayunu nechya. The second pasuk comes to tell us the following. Second pasuk is talking about the four Mitzrayim and what they had to do is they had went into an enemy camp, and it was a time of famine. And so the argument is that I know we're starving, but in other words, what are we supposed to do? Go into an enemy camp? We're going to go into an enemy camp. They're going to kill us, or at least that's a possibility. So that's the chiddush of pasuk number two. Pasuk number two is telling us that even though it's really dangerous, but it's a famine. If we don't go out, we're going to die anyway. So in other words, it's a classic. Tension between we're for sure going to die versus we're possibly going to die. Tana Rabbanan Devar B'Yer Al Yalech Adam Be'emtza HaDerech Mimnei Shemalach HaMavaz Malach Be'emtza HaDerechim Kevin Di'avi Le'Rishus HaMaske LaHedja and Shalom B'Yer Al Yalech B'Tzid HaDerechim Kevin Di'Leis Le'Rishus HaMach Be'Chabuya Maske. Okay, where should you be walking in the streets? Middle of the road or the sides of the road? It depends, says the Braisa. If there is Devar B'Yer, so there's a plague, and so therefore you shouldn't be walking in the middle of the street. Now I know it's confusing because we just learned moments earlier in the daf that where you should be is really indoors. So what are you doing walking in the street? I guess looks. In other words, you got right, you're correct. Running home or you gotta go outside sometimes. Oh, however. In other words, I'm sure there's a yishuv hadavar. But once there's Devar B'Yer, the Malach HaMavis is right there in the middle of the street. Don't walk in the middle of the street. But if there's Shalom B'Yer, so the Malach HaMavis is no longer comfortable walking in the middle of the street. He's going to be off to the sides. So therefore, where should you be walking during Shas HaShalom? Middle of the street, not the sides. Okay. Tana Rabbanan Devar B'Yer Al Yikanes Adam Yachil Beis HaKnesses Shemalach HaMavis Mafkid Sham Kelav. So V'Hani Melech Hechad Olokar Bei Dartiki V'Lo Masla Bei Asara. Now, if there's Devar B'Yer, don't go to Shul. The Malach HaMavis is right over there, and that's where he keeps his Kelim. Right there in Shul. But that's talking about when there aren't children learning in the Beis Medrash, and that's when there's not a minyan. But if there's a minyan, so now you have the Shechina, you have divine protection. Okay.
Outside.
Yeah, okay. Klav and Bochim Malach HaMavis Balair. Now if you hear dogs crying, so that means the Malach HaMavis is here. Klav and Misachim. Now if the dogs are, now I'm gonna say laughing, but obviously, the Gemara is not talking, it doesn't mean laughter, but in other words, playful, whatever. So that is Eliyahu Navi Balir. Eliyahu is in town. And Hani Mili Deles Buhuna Keva, but that's only, of course, if there's no female dog around. If there's a female dog around, do you know why the dogs are excited? So because there's a female dog around, which I know, which therefore means that sometimes not everything needs the most spiritual explanation. In other words, sometimes the easiest explanation is the correct explanation. Okay, Yosef, Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi, Kamed, Rabbi Yitzchak, Nafcha. And Mar Amarle Le Mamar Shmaitata, Omar Amarle Le Mamar Agarata. Okay, so Rabbi Ami Rav Asi was there, and Rabbi Yitzchak, in front of Rabbi Yitzchak. One wanted to learn halacha, the other one wanted to learn agarata. Okay, good. So each one put in a request of new Rebbe teach us, but each one of them wanted a different subject matter. So pasuk lemeimar agarata velo shavik mar. Pasuk lemeimar shmaita tavelo shavik mar. Okay, so he started teaching agarata, but the other Talmud wasn't happy. And he started teaching halacha, and the other Talmud wasn't happy, and each one of them stopped him because each one of them was insistent on their subject of what they want to learn. So Amar Lahem, so Rabbi Yitzchak says to the Talmidim, Rabbi Amin, Rav Asi, you're making me crazy. You know how crazy you're making me? It's like a guy married to two women. One of them is older and the other one's younger. So Yaldam Laketas Olavanos. Now the younger wife, she doesn't want to see her husband with gray hair. So she plucks out all the gray hair. And Zekena Malaketel Shcharos. His older wife, on the other hand, doesn't want to see him with black hair. In other words, she's older. She wants her husband to be older. She only wants to see the gray hair. So she's plucking out all the black hair. So Nimta Kerech Mikan. And now he has nothing. He's got no beard. The gray hair, the black hairs were all plucked out. Yeah. So Amar Lahan. So that's how crazy you're making me. Okay. So Amar Lahan. So Yahachi Emelachu Milson Deshavila Tarvaicho. Okay, so Rav Yitzchak Nafcha says to the Talmidim, I'm going to try to say something that's going to please both of you. I'm going to try. Ki teitzei shumatza kotzim. So teitzei me'atzmam. So over here, where the Torah describes the nezek of eish, and yes, that's why we are having this agadat over here, because it comes back to eish, and the topic of today is eish. So ki teitzei eish me'atza kotzim. So what happens if fire came out by itself? So teitzei me'atzmam. And meanwhile, shalem yishalem am mavirsa be'era. But then you go weiter in the pasuk, and the Torah goes on to describe how you started the fire. Oh, which one is it? The fire started its own, or you started the fire? So, amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, alay lo shalem esa be'era shi'ivarti. So the ani atzitzi eish b'tzion shenemar v'yatzas eish b'tzion v'tochel yisodosel. V'ani asid levnosa be'eish shenemar v'ani ayalach chomas eish savid l'chavad ayah b'socha. So, as from a Nagadic standpoint, the way to understand the Torah is that the Torah is teaching us that B'divrei Agadata, HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed the Beis HaMikdash using Eish, and will rebuild the Beis HaMikdash also using Eish. This should sound familiar, aside from the fact that it's a Gemara in Baba Kama Daf Samach, otherwise known as today's Daf. It should sound familiar because in the Nusach of Nachem, meaning that on Tisha B'Av, so we have an extra tefillah that we add in our Shemona Esrei, we add it by Mincha. You added, I think, also by Shacharis. Mm-hmm. Okay, good. So in the addition, so we basically cite this Gemara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will build the future Beis HaMikdash with Eish. Now, what does that mean? Bimhira b'yamina, we're all going to see it together. Shmaita tapasuk hakasa b'niske mamono v'siyam b'niske gufo. Good. So that's the agadic portion of the pasuk. Now, what about halacha? So as far as halacha is concerned, so the Torah starts with Niske Mamon. So the pasuk goes on to the pasuk starts off Kisei Te'esh. So the and the Esh goes into other people's property. So in other words, that's Niske Mamon. And now V'siim B'Niske Gufo. And then the Torah describes how you started the fire. So is the fire your property damaging, or is the fire you damaging? So Lam Lecha Yishem Hashem Chitzo. So the Gemara says, yeah, you know what the Torah is telling us? Is that, in other words, the fire is you. In other words, it's like you're shooting an arrow. It's like, right, in a more modern metaphor, it's like you're shooting a gun. That's Niske Haguf. That's you. And obviously, this sides with the Shita Rav Yochanan. Meaning, again, second time today's daf, we reference a machlokas between Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish and Daf Chav Beis. Rav Yochanan says, Yishem Yishem Chitzo. Reish Lakish says Isha Mishum Mamono, and obviously this is going to be in line with the Shita Rav Yochanan. Now, obviously, if we were to continue, meaning in this discussion, so then what you have to do is you have to explain the pasuk. Lefi Reish Lakish, we did all this back on Daf Chav Beis. That was a long time ago. Okay, we're going to pause over here. Vayisav David Vayomer Miyashkeni. So that's where we're going to bookmark ourselves off for tomorrow, and tomorrow we pick it up with David HaMelech. Having a machlokas, what the machlokas is, A little bit more agada to finish up today's daf, but we'll do that tomorrow. Okay, Adkan, today we talked, the first thing we covered is the Mishnah on Nun Tes Amud Beis. What if I leave Gadish? What if I leave food in somebody else's property, but without Rishus? So then the homeowner has no liability. I have full liability. In other words, if the animal eats my Gadish, he will not be liable. Furthermore, if his animal gets damaged on my Gadish, I will be liable. But once invited in, so then his chayvus transfers over to the owner of the home. Mishnah seems not to go like Rebbe. The Gemara says, yeah, I could explain the Mishnah like Rebbe. And then fire for the remainder of today's daf. We talked about fire in so many different aspects and areas of the halachas of Eish. Notably, what happens if I hand over the Eish to Chereshot V'Katan? So the Mishnah tells me that I am Pater B'din Adam Chai B'din Eishamayim. That is an example of grama. Is there going to come a point where I hand over the fire to a katan and I'm going to be chayav? So the Gemara says, yes, there will come a point in time. In other words, if you give him a totally self-sustaining fire, the flame, the wind, the kindling, all right? In other words, you gave him a fire and now all he's doing is just spreading it. But in other words, the fire already is there. So the Gemara acknowledges, even at that point in time, I'm going to be chayav. I mean, the one who gave it to him. All he's just doing is just spreading the fire. But in other words, I really started it. The Gemara then goes on to describe on Samach Amud Aleph, what does a fire damage in which I'm going to be chayev? Effectively, the answer is almost everything. With notable exception to Tamun, Rabbi Yehuda argues on that point, but with notable exception to Tamun. And that was Samach Amud Aleph. The Torah gives four different examples of that which I destroy in which I'm going to be chayev. And finally, last and not least, the Gemara goes over Divrei Agadata, right? Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha was asked to say over a little bit of Agadata. He tried, right? Not everyone was in agreement of what he should speak about, but we finished off today's daf with a lot of Agadata. In fact, tomorrow we start off with a little more Agadata.